So we are at March 3rd, 2017, the fifth day of Adar, Tafshanai and Zion, and we, halakha day of Perek Chaf Gimel, and we've, I think both times are through, both on Monday and Wednesday, when we went through with the Chumash and Rashi and with the Chumash and the Rishonim, we took time out to talk about this pasuk a little bit and what the implications would be, so we'll talk about it more, and that is Perek Chaf Gimel, pasuk Yud Gimel, where he says, 23:13, everything that I told you, you should keep, observe. And then the name of other gods you shall not recall. Lo yishama al picha. They shouldn't be heard on your mouth. Okay, so the first part of the pasuk is perhaps an indication. Maybe that's adding on to other mitzvos. Maybe giving further implications of other mitzvahs, as we discussed in the Ramban the other day. But then, v'shem elokim achirim lo tuzkiru, you shouldn't remember the names of other gods, and lo yishma al picha, and they should not be mentioned on your mouth. So the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, as far as I know, the only Gemara that discusses this, makes mention of that in the following context. This is on Sanhedrin Samach Gimel Amud Beis, the one who takes a vow in the name of an idolater or swears in the name. So how do we know that these things are prohibited? Based on this pasuk, v'shem elokim achirim lo tazkiru. Shelo yomar adam l'chaveru. That gives you a list. A person shouldn't say, shemor li b'tzad avodah zarah plonis, wait for me next to such and such an idol. Lo yishama al picha. They shouldn't be heard through you means shelo yidur b'shmo. That they shouldn't be heard in your name, below Yikayim Bishmo, you shouldn't swear in its name, below Yigum Achirim Shiyidru Bishmo Vikayim Bishmo, nor should you cause others to vow in its name, or to swear in its name, or finally, Davar Acher, Lo Yishmal Picha, Azharo Lemesis Umadiach, a prohibition on being a instigator or a subverter. So a Mesis is one who convinces others to do Avodah Zarah, a Madiach is somebody who causes an entire city to do Avodah Zarah, a Madiach is somebody who goes to an Ir Nidachas, which is the entire city doing a Vodazara, which is a topic for another time. But the Gemara seems to have quoted this pasuk and affixes three or four prohibitions along to it. Based on this pasuk, according to this Gemara, A, you're not allowed to say, oh, wait for me by the idol. Now, it doesn't say the church. It's a little bit different. It's a little more precise. The Gemara is using a terminology a little more precise. It's not saying meet me by the church. He's saying meet me by the Baal idol. So that's a problem. Number two, you can't take a neder in its name, nor can you cause others to vow in its name. And finally, an asara to the Mesis and the Madiach. So you're not allowed to be a Mesis and the Madiach. The Gemara asks, we already have another pasuk for that. Okay, that I want to push that third one, the fourth one we're going to put to the side. But the three things that are mentioned first, again, using it as a marking point. Number two, swearing in its name. And three, causing others to swear in its name. Now, which of those is, are those all Isuri Doreisa, or are they Isuri Dorabat? Are they rabbinic, or are they biblical?
He's watching you on the device.
Oh, you're ratting on him.
I go to the baseball game and watching it.
Right, being one of those guys.
Yeah.
One of those guys with the big antennas sticking out. Yeah. All right, so which of those are those all Deoraisa? I mean, the Gemara seems to be quoting a pasuk and telling you, based on this pasuk, the following things are prohibited. So if you violate an Isser Deoraisa, a biblical prohibition, by saying, meet me by such and such an idol, or maybe even by such and such a church, or, you know, when you get to the church, make a right, which is how I tell everyone to get to my house, right? You get to the church, make a right. So is that an Isser Doraisa, or maybe the stakes aren't exactly that high? So if you take a look in the Torah Tumima, the Torah Tumima again quotes the Gemaras, mostly Gemaras, and sometimes the Midrashim. So he quotes another comment that the Mechilta says. The Mechilta is the halachic Midrash on the Book of Shmos. So there's Shmos Rabbah, which is the Agadic Medrash, that's more homiletic, and the Mechilta is more halachic. So the Mechilta appears, I think, only on Sefer Shmos. And he says there, L'rabos Dvarim, I'm sorry, where I have an older version, so I have trouble finding things here in this. L'ishma Apicha Rezu, no. Yeah, that's it. Shelo tishba l'gai b'yiraso. That one should not take an oath to a guy b'yiraso in its in fear of it, or in with respect to that guy. So to not swear, sounds like what he's saying is to not swear in the name of that avodah zarah. So if you look in the Rambam, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, so the Rambam has this, the famous Rambam, the Mishnah Torah. The Mishnah Torah is really patterned after the Sefer HaMitzvos. Sefer HaMitzvos is where the Rambam comes up with the 613 mitzvos, what he believes are the 613 mitzvos d'oraisa, as we spoke about the other night. And here, in Mitzvos Lo Ta'aseh number 14, I believe, the Sefer HaMitzvos quotes this, and says, oh, and quotes this pasuk, and says, oh, and therefore it's aser to swear in the name of an avodah zarah. Now he does mention also the idea of using it as a marking point or something like that, but the Rambam seems to be emphasizing the prohibition of solely of swearing in the name of avodah zarah. So it sounds like from that Rambam that what is the iser d'oraisa? The iser d'oraisa is to swear in the name of avodah zarah, and the other things maybe are only on a level of the rabbanan, or we call it a smachta, something that is rabbinic but finds its sourcing in the Torah, but isn't really qualified as an iser d'oraisa. The problem is, I noticed today that in the footnote in the Torah Tumimah himself, the Torah Tumimah, not the didn't live too long ago. Died, I think, in the area of World War I in that period of time. So he's one of the few people that actually gets into drushas. I heard someone point out recently. That actually kind of goes in the way the Gemara does. You see this word here, that word there. We're going to make a drush on that. So anyways, in this pasuk where he says the shelo tishba l'goy b'yiraso, he suggests that maybe there's a bit of a footnote. Karas lomar shato soferhu, v'tzarech lomar shelo tashbia, that the mechilta is saying that you should not cause others to swear. Not that you shouldn't swear, you shouldn't cause others to swear. That's really what the mechilta said. If that's really what the mechilta said, then you have no source that the prohibition is to swear in the name of the avodah zarah. Perhaps, right, it's Kal V'Chomer, but what's not to swear in the name of Avodah Zarah? That might be Avodah Zarah, right? That might be, that would then be included under some other prohibition. What is this prohibition that's taught in this pasuk? The only source that we have then is this Gemara Sanhedrin. What does this Gemara in Sanhedrin tell us this mitzvah is teaching us? It's teaching us these three things. You're not allowed to use it as a marking point, and you're not allowed to have others swear in the name of the... You're not allowed to swear in its name, you're not allowed to have others swear in its name. But if that's the case, you're putting them all together. Right? If the Gemara is saying you're not allowed to swear, you're not allowed to have others swearing, you're not allowed to use it as a marking point, that's what we learn from this pasuk. And the Mechilta is saying you're not allowed to have others swear on it. So rather than using the Mechilta as saying, oh, this is only about you swearing, the other things are only rabbinic, the Mechilta is aiming at one of the lower ones. And therefore it sounds like the entire thing would be considered Isuri D'Oraisa. So this is a serious issue then. This all of a sudden becomes... Now, we've already shown him the Sefer HaChinuch explicitly says that it's only a Din D'Rabbanan, but the others say that it's an Isuri D'Oraisa. So this is then a major issue. If you can't mention the name of it, it's an Isuri D'Oraisa to do so, a biblical prohibition to do so, so that is A, an issue in terms of our directions. It's also an issue in terms of... various cities around the country and around the world, right? St. Louis, things like that. What?
Christ Church
is the name of a place.
Really? New Zealand.
New Zealand. Okay, so Chabad of Christ Church. There's a shul in Rochester, the more right wing shul. The two shuls in Rochester is on St. Regis Street. So it's when I was there, they pointed out to me the sisterhood that likes to call themselves the Sisters of St. Regis. So, and other ones. So they actually came across an article, or Ari Leibowitz wrote an article that may once say Mumbai. Mumbai, I don't know if I want to say it. Mumbai, the city, remember a couple of years ago, that's where the...
200 people died here, right?
There are 200 total, right? They went and killed... From our, the closest to our heart is that they went into the Chabad house there and killed the shliach there. In fact, the book, what's the name? One of the biographies of the Rebbe that came out recently, the Rebbe by Telushkin. Telushkin's biography of the Rebbe. He opens up with that chapter. The first chapter he opens up with the scene there, and he develops from there. How did this all come about? Like, why? What is? What's the history? And that's the starting point for the rest of the book. But apparently, he reports in his article, Rabbi Leibowitz, that he caught that somebody made mention of I'm referring to Rav Gavriel Holzberg, Hashem Yikom Damam, who was killed there. So he used to say Mumbai instead of Mumbai because he feared that the word Mumbai is a Hindu idol, and therefore you're not allowed to say it. I just said it, but therefore you're not allowed to say it. There are others as well. There is a rumor, although it's a little disputed whether it's actually true or not, that the word, the city Satmar, where does Satmar Hasidim come from? What is Satmar?
St. Mary,
right. So that's not 100% sure, but also Tzanz is a Avodah Zarah, but it might be San, that's why some of them call themselves Sans as opposed to Tzanz, because they want to avoid mentioning it as an Avodah Zarah. So, and not only that, but today is Friday. I did a little bit of research today, just, you know, checked up the Wikipedia article on Friday, and Friday probably comes from, you know, the word fry is a German term. It's a German word for Venus, the planet Venus. Venus is a god of love, right? Greek god of love. Thursday has to do with Jupiter, which is also the god of power or something. So it's going to get a hard time functioning in this world without this. Rabbi Pransky, actually, Donnie Pransky, who Bob Pransky's son, who's a Rosh Kol in Atlanta, told me that there is a street in the from area of Atlanta where he lives, in Tocco Hills, that is Christmas Street. One is Mary Street, one is Christmas Street. I think it was, he told me the builder wanted to make it a gift to his wife. So he named one street Mary, one street Christmas, one street Deer, and the other street Susan or something. Those are the four streets that go in a row in that area. So if anybody listens from Atlanta, they can call and correct me. Anyways, so this is a problem. So, what is the deep applicability of it? Is this quoted Shulchan Aruch? So the answer is yes, it is quoted Shulchan Aruch. It's quoted in the Rishonim and in Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef quotes the Rush itself says, that if you look, the Gemara actually, before we get to the Rush, the Gemara actually continues on and says, wait a second, you're telling me you're not allowed to mention the names of Avodah Zarah, but there are plenty of cities that are named after Avodah Zarah that we refer to. So what are you talking about? It says, the Gemara says, Ki ata Ula bas Kolno, when Ula came from the town of Kolnovo, Amar le Rava, Rava says, Veheicha bas Mar, where did you spend the night? So Amrali, he said, in Kalnavo, I spent in Kalnavo. So Amrali, Rabbi sent him, Vachziv, V'shem Elokim Acherim Lo Taskiru. But wait a second, got you. You're not allowed to name the gods of other, you're not allowed to name alien gods. So Amrali, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Avodos Chachavim Haksuv V'Torah, but to L'Haskir. But if the idol was mentioned in the Torah itself, you're allowed to mention it. Otherwise, how are you going to read the Torah? So if it's in the Torah itself, that already qualifies as a dispensation. So Amar says, okay, where is Kalnavo mentioned in the Torah? So he answers, well, Dechsiv Kara Bel Kores Nevo. Baal squats, Nevo splashes. So Kal Nevo, Nevo is the name of one of these gods. So therefore that would be a problem. But yet, because it's mentioned, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that mentions this Avodah Zarah, so therefore you're allowed to mention it. The problem is we have Avodah Zarahs today that are not mentioned in Tanakh, like the one that Bombay was changed into, right? Mumbai apparently means great mother or something. So that turns into being problematic again. Okay, so let's take a look at what the Rishonim say. The Rishonim in the Rush in Simon Gimel, in Perek Zayin, Simon Gimel, and Avodah Zarah, comments, L'chora mashma, dafka b'chai gavna. Remember, what did the Gemara say? The Gemara said, you're not allowed to mention the Avodah Zarah as a marker. So he says, well, maybe it's only in that way, if you're using it as a marker, haska vodazara litzorech for a need, umiyu near. However, but maybe the implication being, if there's no need to just go around mentioning the name, maybe that becomes permissible. Okay, it's not necessarily going to help us very much, but maybe that's okay. But the Rush knocks that down also. He says umiyu nira the b'chol inyan aser. No, it's aser. The cross stomach siv v'hadanaka shemor lav dafka el orker the milsanaka. The fact that the Gemara gave the example of using it as a marker is not because it's trying to say using it for a purpose as opposed to not using it for a purpose. Rather, it means why else would you be mentioning Avodah Zarah? That's the Gemara is giving you a practical example. You'd be mentioning it to use as space or day of the week or a marker or something like that. Therefore, we would say even Litzorach it's going to be a problem. Both Megor is telling you even Litzorach it's going to be a problem. So therefore, they're both going to be a problem. Beis Yosef points out which one is more has a question about which one is more likely. But either way, it comes out with that halach. And how does it that whether it's Litzorach or whether lo Litzorach is going to be aser? It says in Shulchan Aruch Simon Kuf Mem Zayin Sif Aleph Hanoder Onishma B'Shem Elilim, one who swears or takes an oath or swears B'Shem Elilim Hareza Loka, you get Malchus, you violated this pasuk for aser lahaskira. Although it's a lot of Shein B'Maisa, so I'm not sure if it's real Malchus or not. But V'Aser LaHaskira B'Shma Bein Litzorech Bein Shelotzorech. You're not allowed to mention it by name, whether Litzorech or whether it's not Litzorech. So we got a problem. Right, how are we going to continue to function on today, this Friday, where we're reading? So Baruch Hashem, tonight is Shabbos, so Shabbos is not a problem, although maybe Saturday is, I don't know, but we're going to have the problem again next week when we talk about which day of the week we're on. So how can we solve this? So Rabbi Leibowitz quotes from Rabbi Nashik.
Saturday.
Right, but we call it Shabbos. So to avoid this. At least one day a week, we won't violate this pasuk, right? So Rav Menashe Klein, wrote the Mishnah Halakos. Mishnah Halakos is a voluminous Shas Teshuvah farm. He died a couple of years ago. He lived in, I think, Borough Park, definitely in the Brooklyn Borough. Rabbi Rakefet, in his shirim, has become enthralled with Rav Menashe Klein's Teshuvos and has been spending a year or two going through various ones of them. He wrote to everybody, had many, many different types of topics. So he deals with this. The problem is I don't know where. He doesn't quote here where it is. There is a set here in this Beis Medrash. But he points out that maybe you could suggest that we could mitigate it somewhat by saying you're allowed to write the name. You know, maybe you're allowed to. Maybe the prohibition is only in saying and not to writing. Why would I think that there would be such a distinction? He says, well, the word, what's the term that's used in this pasuk? The term being used is lo taskiru, right? So what does it mean, taskiru? So we have a prohibition, we have a mitzvah, aseh, which is actually will fulfill next Shabbos in Yisrael Hashem, of Parsha Zachor, meaning of doing Zechar Amalek. So what if I sit down and say, I'm not going to make it to shul, let me just write down Zachor es kol asher asal lecha Amalek. Let's just write down those words. Have I been yotzei my mitzvah? So he suggests, no. Zechira is not just by writing, you actually have to hear it, say it, something like that. So maybe, because this pasuk is only about, it only says taskiru, maybe it means only if I say it, not if I write it. So maybe that could solve 10% of the issues. So the Beis Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes, says no, even that's not going to be any good, because the prohibition of Avodah Zarah, anything related to Avodah Zarah, is asur also b'machshava. One is not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah in their thoughts either. So while it might be true that in most of Torah, Zechira only means speaking as opposed to just remembering or writing, in the area of Avodah Zarah, it's not going to help you very much. So one way or another, it's even if it would, it's not really going to help you in that many cases. So there is another suggestion that's put out there. Darki Tshuva. Darki Tshuva was written by the Munkacher Rebbe, or at least his team. He assembled a team. Darki Tshuva's on Yer Deya, pretty much collected everything written until that time. It's a pretty impressive feat, and put it in an orderly way. So the Darki Tshuva, technically, I guess I'm a Munkacher Chassid. I'm genealogically a Munkacher Chassid, although. My grandfather did. My grandfather grew up in Munkacher Chassid. I actually have my great great uncle was a dayan in the town of Munkach. One of the dayan. I have a sefer on my shelf from him. Last name is Bruce. But once my father grandfather survived the war, they're Hungarian. They were pretty stark anti-Zionists. The Munkacher Hasidim. So my what?
Could be.
It's the poor part of Hungary. You were Sakmar Munkacs. It was the eastern Hungary.
What is it? The Czechoslovakia. Is it part of
Yeah, it went over a bunch of time. Remember when Russia invaded Crimea a couple of years ago? My grandfather was like, "Yeah, that's the way it goes. They're not giving it up. We think it's part of Russia. Poland thinks it's part of Poland. Hungary thinks it's part of Hungary. Yeah, it's constantly being fought over." This is why people there knew like 8 languages, was they in different countries every other year. So, anyways. So he has a comment where he suggests that if the word has become divorced from whatever, however it's identified, so maybe it becomes okay. His suggestion is that if the word existed before it became an avodah zarah, so you're okay. So his tshuva is specifically regarding a organization that called itself something meaning good health, even though it was connected to a Greek god with the same name. He said, yeah, but it meant good health. That's why they named the Greek god after it, because the word already existed beforehand. So if you could somehow historically go back and figure out which came first, so that becomes then permissible to say. Again, not very practical to start investigating all those different types of things. But one suggestion that the Beis Yitzchak has, we mentioned the Beis Yitzchak a little bit before, that the Beis Yitzchak has a suggestion that maybe even the term mammon that the Gemara uses was one time a deity known as the god of money. So does that mean we're not allowed to refer to it as mammon? He says, well, if it's become totally disassociated from the avodah zarah, so then it becomes permissible. So most people don't think of St. Louis when they mention St. Louis. They just think that that's the name of the town with the big arch in front of it that, for some reason, it's there. Other cities as well. Once it's become disassociated, so maybe it becomes permissible. There are, I remember, we once had in yeshiva a question and answer period with Mordechai Willig, and the guys asked him once about using tunes that are like pop tunes, you know, using tunes in davening that are from secular music, things like that. So he said, it's not appropriate. You know, it depends what it reminds you of. I mean, it's better not to do it. So they point that whenever this discussion comes up, so everybody jumps in and says, yeah, but there's plenty of tunes that we use that we don't necessarily realize, but are certainly old non-Jewish tunes that originate in the non-Jewish world. Ein keloke, no ein. That's a German marching tune. Yeah, so maybe I should have told you that. But many of the tunes that we use do trace themselves back to that. And there is an idea out there, I'm not sure what it's based on, that tunes can't become metame. That you can't be metame a tune. That tune can't become impure, whatever that means. So maybe we shouldn't worry about it, but the tune's not impure. So I will answer back, which is, I think, a very common sense approach. Yes, it's true that the tune itself will be tamei, but your thoughts are tamei. Your thoughts could become tamei. Your thoughts could become impure. So if the tune right away reminds you of something that's on the street, or something, some kind of pop tune that has other words to it that certainly are not appropriate to be singing in shul, so that is a problem, because while singing Kedusha, you're going to be reminded of those other tunes that use these words. The other songs that use this tune for other words. But if it's become totally divorced from that, like the song I just mentioned before, plenty of other tunes that have made it into Jewish liturgy, so it's become divorced from that, from its premise, from its original, so then there is room to be makom. Those are a couple of possibilities that are out there. Now, there is a tshuva, this is pretty lengthy. There is a tshuva from the B'nai Banim. The B'nai Banim is Rabbi Yehuda Herzl Henkin. His son was the Rabbi Henkin who was killed when the stabbing. The stabbing, what they call the stabbing intifada, is this past year or a year and a half ago? I'm forgetting already.
He was
killed, yes, this past August or September. Remember there was a family who was on their way to their son, to their Afraf. Yeah, in Israel. So that was his son. So he's the Shas Shuvas B'nai Banim. His grandfather was Rav Eliyahu Henkin, who was the contemporary of Moshe Feinstein, was the Rav, was really considered by many to be the Posek of America, which kind of stepped in his place. But it was the Rav in Manhattan, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, there's many things that Rav Moshe and Rav Hinkin signed together. So, anyways, so he has a long tshuva on this topic. So there's music in the shul and the idea of mentioning Avodah Zarah and the Isser of all these things. So it's pretty lengthy. But he, so I see the summary, so he perhaps suggests that there is a kula. Yeah, let's skip that and let's go on to the next one. That there is an idea that maybe the prohibition is only if it's a name that is ascribing greatness. That's his suggestion. That there is a idea that three kulas that are out there, none of which are completely, totally accepted. Number one that is mentioned is the idea that if the god is no longer worshipped, that maybe it's suggested that the reason why is it that a avodah zarah mentioned in the Torah is permitted to say, as the Gemara seem to imply. So maybe the reason is because if it's an avodah zarah mentioned in the Torah, it's not really worshipped anymore. So the problem is, it might not be true. Maybe a lot of them were still worshipped, but that suggestion is out there. Would that permit one to say Mumbai? So probably not, because why was it changed? Why was the name of the city changed from Bombay to Mumbai? It was changed recently because it's in the Avodah Zarah that's still worshipped in India. So that perhaps is problematic. The next one idea as well is, it depends, another room for leniency might be if there's no other choice as which to say it. So the that's what Rav Hinkin suggests, that if there's no other choice, I mean, what was prohibited? What did the Gemara discuss? So number one, you're not allowed to use it as a marker for a purpose. You're not allowed to use it as a marker, you're not allowed to just say it for no reason. That's what's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. So you suggest, yeah, but maybe if you have no other choice, there's no other way to get around. I want to get to the city. That's the name of the city. I need to say the name in order to get to the city. So maybe that's room for leniency. Now, he admits that it's a little difficult to read to say that. You know, the Gemara would say it. And in fact, remember, the Gemara asked the question, where did you sleep last night? He answered this place. So he asked him, well, why are you allowed to say that place? So what was his answer? His answer wasn't, well, what do you want me to say? The place next to the other place? I had to say it. The Gemara could have just answered that. The Gemara didn't answer that. The Gemara answered, well, because there's a source for it in the Tanakh. That's why I said it. So it is a questionable leniency as whether to suggest it or not. So anyway, so what is the hefter to say these things? It becomes problematic for some of the places. Certainly a avodah zarah that is still actively being worshipped. To say that place in India that was formerly known as Bombay, but now that's why many people went around saying Mumbai as opposed to MU. They said MO, Mumbai. Mumbai apparently is not the right way of saying it. So they would say it in slightly different names. Well, you know, there's also a rumor that when the Satmar Rebbe would refer to himself, the city, he would call it the city of Sakmar rather than Satmar. Because to avoid the mentioning of Avodah Zarah. There is another article that I came across from Rabbi Hinkin, Ari Hinkin, who talks about saying the name Jesus. So that, he suggests, is there's more room to be lenient on that, because, as we mentioned the Heter before, was it depends, what was it first? Was it a god first, or was it another place first? He says, well, it was probably a name before he became recognized as a god. That was his name. He was named that before it became identified with Avodah Zarah. And and it was probably a common name at the time. There is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, not in Avodah Zarah, in Sanhedrin, I think Mem Vav, I think that's where it is, that it was taken out of many editions and was added in the more recent editions once again, where it describes Yeshu amongst those being killed by Beis Din. So, which I remember when we learned this Gemara, one of the Rebbeim in Yeshiva said, "Whoa, this Gemara talks about killing Jesus. we did do it. Well, no, not necessarily. It was probably a different person with the same name. That Gemara is not really one proof or another of whether we actually killed that Jesus or not. But anyways, we see that it was a common name. And it continues to be a common name in many places of the world. That name is given to people in a common way, similar to the name Muhammad. Muhammad wasn't deified by the religion, but it is a name that is being used, and therefore one can make a case that it's okay, certainly not when using it in the name of as the name of the God, but rather using it only as a particular name. So anyway, so these are some of the issues. It is complicated. There's really no clear-cut heter to be to use an actual idol or an actual avodah zarah as a marker, but there are some things around the edges that seem to be more permissible. Okay? Yes?
A lot of them have a first name.
Yeah, particularly amongst Spanish baseball players or Latino baseball players. Right? There seems to be a bunch of them with that name.
Or mushroom farmers.
Mushroom.